It's got a death curse.
So it's bothering me like me.
And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
The way each of those rooms, like, it's just cluttered with old antique furniture and tapestries and rich textures. Tapestries? We have many tapestries.
I'm Mickey Mouse!
What is the meaning of this? How dare you admit anyone into this house?
We went from Vincent Price saying, "You all have to stay," to Vincent Price going, "Get the fuck out! Whatever, just get the fuck out as soon as possible. Are you still here?
Where is he?
Don't touch me.
Where is she?
Touch me!
Don't touch me!" And he's all squirmy. I'm like, Vincent Price, this is not you. Any of his other roles, he's more of a, I don't want to say manly man, but more like a little bit headstrong and even a dick sometimes.
Good night, sir.
Mr. Usher, perhaps you fail to understand.
Good night, sir.
Look how knotted his hands are.
Yeah.
Only I can kiss my sister at night, you asshole. Get out.
You buried your own sister alive.
But I had to do it. Can't you understand that? She was doomed.
It's self-fulfilling prophecy, much? They get the mania, yeah, from being locked in a casket for a couple fucking days.
You are mad. Be done!
What? I think I rave.
Stop screaming! What are you talking about?
Nothing. I rave.
Yes, even now I hear her. She calls my name. Roderick. Roderick.
We have reached our 60th Horror 101 podcast, my friends. Nothing Christmas-related this year. We had such a nostalgic time focusing on Vincent Price last show, we decided to extend that theme, and once again, we turned to the delightfully macabre work of Edgar Allan Poe to help us celebrate this milestone. This time, we turned back to 1960, as the world-famous Brian Stewart, cult sensation Nick McPherson, the lovely Nude, and myself give the Horror 101 treatment to Roger Corman's Fall of the House of Usher.
This is the 60th. This is the 60th Horror 101 podcast. This is the end of our fifth year. This will be the last one of this year. 60th podcast. So we were thinking like 1960, and obviously, what's 1960? What's the first thing, Brian Stewart, that is on your mind when you think 1960?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
But what's so big about 1960?
Huh? You yourself agreed that Psycho probably wasn't the best thing to cover, only because what the fuck can we say about Psycho that hasn't
been talked about in the 20th briefly?
Times.
So.
We did the sequel, right? Psycho 2,
yes,
which is the follow-up to it.
Mm-hmm. I finally got my wife to watch Psycho.
Oh, really?
She was watching Bates Motel, and I'm like, oh, okay, kind of like that. What do you mean? Never seen the original? Oh, alright, so we watched it. She was like, that was okay.
It was okay.
It was just okay?
Yeah, you had to be born in that age, I think, because it's been spoiled like the hell and back.
Yes.
Wasn't that around the time of your third hatching?
Yeah, that's right. Back in my day when we used to wear onions on our belt.
That explains the smell.
Yes.
So 60th podcast, we want to go to 1960, and because we had such a great time using Vincent Price in our last podcast, The Houses on Haunted Hills, I said, well, let's look for something 1960, and we found, what did we find? New?
House of Usher.
Fall of the House of Usher?
Well, now some areas it was called House of Usher, so it was released under two titles, but the original Poe story was called Fall of the House of Usher. But it's good stuff.
This isn't our first Poe
movie adaptation.
We did Full Moon's production, Pit in the Pendulum.
Yes, with Lance Henriksen.
Yes, which there is a Vincent Price version as well.
Yes.
It was one of the AIP movies.
Yes.
This is the first time AIP started doing the Poe films. And it's interesting in film history because up until now, AIP was mostly about making quickly produced black and white exploitation films for teens. That's mostly their, that was their niche market. They were one of the first studios to really target the teen demographic. They had used focus groups, one of the first studios to do that, and they found out that adults didn't go to theaters much. They certainly didn't go to drive-in theaters. So most of the people go to drive-ins were young male teens bringing their dates. And so they were trying to, you know, tailor their content to that market. So they had a lot of titles, like, we were looking at a few of them, like Prison Girls and Hot Rod, this and that, and Jungle Women, and a lot of anything that would appeal to a 19-year-old male, that's what they were going for.
Titillating, yes. Titillating stuff.
Until this movie. This movie came out in 1960. Up until then, Roger Corman was making two black and white movies a year for them under contract, and they said, okay, as of this year, you make one movie, but we want it in color. And this is the first thing he did.
Has everybody here seen this film?
Nope.
I have not.
Really?
Nope.
You never caught this on a thriller double feature?
Nope.
Really?
Maybe I did, but I didn't know what the name of it was.
Fall of the House of Usher. This was the first time, probably the only time I ever remember seeing Vincent Price with blonde hair and no facial hair. Which is striking to see. That's so anti-Vincent Price visage.
It's that I can honestly say I've never seen it. Yeah. There was a lot of ones that I kind of tuned into when I was a kid on the Thriller Double Feature that had Vincent Price in it. But I do not recall seeing one with blonde hair and no mustache.
Okay, let's do this one. 1960, last one of the year. Fall of the House of Usher. Let's watch it now. We'll watch it now. And then we will discuss. We will discuss.
During the whole of a dull, dark, and soundless day in the autumn of the year, when the clouds hung oppressively low in the heavens, I had been passing alone on horseback through a singularly dreary tract of country, and at length found myself, as the shades of the evening drew on, within view of the melancholy house of Usher.
I actually really like the opening scene where he's first approaching the house, even though that first shot of the house is obviously a matte shot, right? It's not real.
Just a model.
But it reminded me a lot of the opening sequence to Rebecca back in 1940. If you haven't seen Rebecca, great black and white shot where it's all about a house. It's about a great house called Mandalay. And I like the way the camera kind of tracks around towards the front door of the house in this one. You know, very kind of dreamlike and strange with the mists on the moors and the way it tracks. I love that opening shot. I think it's beautiful.
That kind of atmosphere with the exaggerated mist and fog and shit like that never gets old, does it? Never gets old. Isn't this spooky? Nice place to visit, but wouldn't want to live there.
Dear
kind
God,
of deal.
You know what our smoke machine budget is?
Sir, I should like to see Miss Usher. My name is Philip Winthrop. Miss Usher and I are engaged to be married.
I cannot admit you, sir.
Cannot? By whose order?
Mr. Roderick, her brother. He has expressly forbidden.
Well, then I shall speak to him. I insist you announce me.
Oh, that poor servant, Bristol. That poor bastard. What a miserable existence that must have been.
And he was there for 60 years. That boy needs some fucking sun.
Yeah, that as a child, he was there. And he was not there during the good halcyon days when the castle was all, like, blooming and everything
lush.
Was nice, you know, drinkable water. He was there as a boy when it was miserable and gray and disgusting. He's been there his entire life, and it shows. The years have not been kind to this guy.
What is the meaning of this? How dare you admit anyone into this house?
I insisted, sir. I felt I had the right.
For the first time you see him, when he opens up the door, it literally took my brain like half a second to be like, "Oh shit, that is him! I knew he was going to be showing up eventually." You even told me he was going to be blonde with no mustache.
Yeah,
and I still didn't know it was him for like a half a second.
It's like Tom Atkins without a stash. It's not right.
It is weird when you see it. Yeah, but
they had to take the stash away. He was too weak and frail. If he had a mustache, it would have been far too manly.
I gather you know who I am,
if
sir.
If you please, Mr. Winthrop, softly. An affliction of the hearing. Sounds of any exaggerated degree cut into my brain like knives. I'm afraid you're going to have to leave, Mr. Winthrop.
The one thing, after doing House on Haunted Hill, the one thing, the juxtaposition that became clear to me was, we went from Vincent Price saying, you all have to stay, to Vincent Price going, get the fuck out. Whatever, just get the fuck out as soon as possible. Are you still here? Get the fuck out. Didn't I show you the door last night, the
fine,
day before?
Go, you get, stayed, get out.
Get the fuck out.
You must leave this house now.
Get out.
It is not a healthy place for you to be.
Well, after seeing two back-to-back Vincent Price movies, I've learned something. Never trust a chandelier in a Vincent Price movie. That's a given.
It's like a request. Would there be a falling chandelier in it? Oh, do it!
In the original Poe story, the usher's guest is an old friend of Roderick's, who is asked through letter to come for a visit. There's no love story at all. This is the greatest difference from the narrative of this film, where Philip Winthrop is betrothed to Madeline Usher, and her brother Roderick wants this man out of the house as soon as possible. It's a very strange behavior, and we're quickly wondering what his problem really is, and what secrets will be revealed in the legendary House of Usher.
Mr. Winthrop, are you actually planning to marry my sister?
Why shouldn't Madeline marry and have children?
Because the Usher line is tainted, Mr. Winthrop.
Philip.
Madeline. Madeline, in heaven's name, you must return to your bed.
Madeline.
You came all the way just to see me.
Yes, to see you.
Madeline, I must insist.
We shall talk later, Philip.
Mr. Winthrop is leaving.
Get out!
Leaving.
I'm not leaving.
You get this idea that at some point, fairly recently, she was outside of this home, she was somewhere else, and she was full of life, vibrant, loving, carefree, youthful soul. But in this house, it's a different story. So he comes along, he wants to see this woman, and he's just, like, the moment he comes to the door, he's got a brick wall in his face. No, you can't come in. Well, I'll talk to the brother. No, you can't stay here. Well, what the fuck is going on? And after, it gets to the point where you think that this brother is, like,
cock-blocking.
Well, not just that, but awkwardly keeping his sister for himself. Almost like there was something going on there. Every time this guy wanted to go and see her or touch her or give her a kiss, he was, oh, get the fuck out of here, kind of deal. It's like,
no, touchy.
This is,
not today.
Is Vincent Price a sister fucker? I'm wondering this, you know.
I said good night.
Good night, sir.
Mr. Usher, perhaps you fail to understand.
Good night, sir.
You cannot order my life, Roderick.
I like how when he interrupts the coitus there, where he's going to go in and, you know, see her that night, and he's standing at the doorway. It's enough of that. Look how knotted his hands are.
Yeah.
He has clenched his two hands together, and they are just like, you know, I think they're turning white because he's holding, he's clenched so much. He's like, what do you think you're doing?
Only I can kiss my sister at night, you asshole. Get out.
Get out.
Shaking off from my spirit what must have been a dream, I scanned more narrowly the real aspect of the building. Its principal feature seems to be that of excessive antiquity. The discoloration of ages had been great. Beyond this indication of extensive decay, however, the fabric gave little token of instability. Perhaps the eye of a scrutinizing observer might have discovered a barely perceptible fissure, which, extending from the roof of the building in front, made its way down the wall in a zigzag direction until it became lost in the sullen waters of the town.
A lot of it is drinking in the atmosphere, and those sets are unbelievably richly decorated. Whoever did the art direction for this is outstanding, because the way each of those rooms, like, it's just cluttered with old antique furniture and tapestries and rich textures. Tapestries? We have many tapestries.
Mickey Mouse!
I totally live there, great. Though. I totally live there.
Even with the collapse?
Oh,
oh yeah. if the house shook a bit, it might be a little bit drafty, but yeah, I like the big-ass wide rooms, the carpets that are about the size of this fucking whole basement. I want that. The wide-open spaces.
He's got the fixer-upper. And we make do.
It's that fissure that causes the entire house to shake. How long has that been going on?
So long, I'm hardly aware of it anymore. It's just the settling of the house.
That settling can cause this entire structure to collapse. And that doesn't worry you?
Oh, no, sir. If the house dies, I shall die with it.
It is such a great metaphor for the end of a line to see the ancestral home crumble. And it's such a beautiful image.
The effects that they use for that, even earlier on, when he's putting his fingers into the wooden banister and he's taking claw marks of sand out of it. It's turning into sand into his hands.
Doing the same thing, yeah. Like there was the crack next to his window.
In the wall.
It's just like he's touching the wall. It's literally just falling apart in his
into
fingers.
Into sand. It's yeah. Like this
it's,
house.
It's supernatural.
Long. Yeah.
It's not just regular decay. It's supernatural yeah. Decay.
Sir, I shall stay with her. In the name of God, sir, will you not understand? Leave my sister be. Mr. Usher, I mean to take her from this house tomorrow.
I will not argue with you. Would you leave, please?
Get out!
I will say it was a bit of a slow burn.
Slow.
It felt like it was padded in a few spots.
Once the history of the Ushers and the house was revealed, things moved fast.
Yeah.
Up right. Until then, it was like, oh, sir, you have no idea what you're getting into. You must leave. It's like, but why? Maybe I'll tell you another time. But for right now, you just must leave.
Well,
45 minutes later, you still don't understand. And it's like, make me. I'm like, yes, please. Make him understand. Fuck it. What is your deal, man?
Anthony Usher. Thief. Usurer. Merchant of flesh. Bernard Usher. Swindler. Forger. Jewel thief, drug addict.
And he's showing them all the portraits of the past Ushers. This person did this person did that, this person did this, that, and the other thing. The entire family has been absolute pieces of shit, and their deeds and thoughts in this house have created just a blight across the land, and we're doomed to fall.
Francis Usher, professional assassin. Vivian Usher, blackmailer, harlot, murderess.
No one says harlot like Vincent Price.
Harlot, murderess.
She died in the madhouse. Captain David Usher, smuggler, slave trader, mass murderer.
Mr. Usher. I don't see that this has anything to do with Madeline and myself. I don't believe in the sins of the fathers being visited upon the children.
You do not, sir? The house of Usher seems to you then normal?
The house, sir, is neither normal nor abnormal. It is only a house.
You are very wrong, Mr. Winthrop. This house is centuries old. It was brought here from England. And with it, every evil rooted in its stones.
The Ushers have been so debauched for centuries.
White slavers and murderers.
That usurers and drug addictions and merchants of flesh and harlot and murderers and what have you. That, okay, the sins of centuries of Ushers has finally come to claim the land, the house, and the occupants therein. Yeah. And this Roderick guy wants to sever that tie, you know? You're not planning on having kids with my sister. Yeah, if God willing. No, I don't think that's a good
His
idea.
His reasons aren't selfish, though.
No.
They're actually altruistic, if anything. He's trying to spare the rest of the
He's
world.
He's like, you know what? I think it's best that my sister and I die, the Usher line ends, and that's it. Maybe this house can crumble, we'll be forgotten, and the land can come to fruition once more, and we can just get over this horrible black fucking Usher cloud.
You cannot take my sister out of this house. If she were to wed and bear children, the Usher evil would spread a new malignant cancer.
You are mad. I will not listen to you.
Yes, you will.
No, I will
not. You're not! I'll tell you what's evil in this house, sir. You! I will not let your sickened fancies destroy Madeline's life! She leaves with me today.
One evening, having informed me abruptly that the Lady Madeline was no more, He stated his intention of preserving her corpse for a fortnight, previously to its final interment, in one of the numerous vaults within the main walls of the building.
Stranded in this spooky town. He is an evil man.
I think he knew in the room that she wasn't dead, that she was going to, because he must have seen this behavior from her before. Yes. And that's why he didn't look all too concerned. But he was just looking out the window.
We don't know that.
Yeah. This was, he was, it was an act of opportunity. Like he saw, you know, he didn't, I don't think he had it in his heart to murder her himself outright, to pick up a dagger and drive it into her heart. I don't think he could do that. I don't think he was capable. But he saw an opportunity to put her in the tomb.
I think he knew that if he got her riled up enough, it would happen, and that's why he went into the room. They were arguing for quite some time before she screamed, and then he comes in and she's dead.
Because he's so weak.
And he's so smug. He's so smug. He's like, I didn't, there's not a mark on her. I never touched her. You did.
You did then.
He's trying to blame Winthorpe for it. Winthorpe.
I told you she was not well, and yet you persisted. Her heart could not withstand the strain you put upon it. One candle left to burn now. Before the darkness comes.
Yeah, Poe would not have had a very good opinion of families. His own family was quite broken. Father left at a young age, when he was young.
One of his wives was his cousin. I'm pretty sure he went with his first cousin. Died of tuberculosis.
No, his mother died. Mother died of tuberculosis. Father skipped out on them, so he was actually adopted.
His cousin wife, she also died of a young age. She was like 15 or 16, died young age of tuberculosis.
Something.
So women dying or women being buried alive, huge. It was a huge fucking theme for him.
Suffering from illness.
The premature burial.
Yeah.
The black cat. All dealing with women being buried or walled up alive.
Yeah, the mask of a or cask of a month's
At
least she has found peace now. Has she? Why do you say that? Because I do not believe that for the ushers there is peace hereafter.
Is there no end to your horrors?
None whatever, for they are not mine alone. Mere passage from the flesh cannot undo centuries of evil. There can be no peace without penalty. I only knew it was inevitable as my death is inevitable. Our blight must be removed from this earth. What lies beyond is something else again.
When the fingers start moving in the coffin and he notices it, but her fiancé's just, you know, that constant tears that were streaming down thing. It was just a rush of water that was down this guy's face. He was so out of it, so distraught that she had just passed away. He wasn't even noticing that her fingers were twitching, but Roderick saw it. He's like, oh God.
They do that scene really well too, because first we see it before they do.
Yeah.
The fingers move, they don't notice. Then we wonder, is somebody going to notice? Yeah. And then to our horror, Vincent Price sees it first.
Yeah.
And then the husband doesn't. So it's done really well. It's done in stages.
And,
so.
And you're immediately let in on the fact that he fucking knows he's about to entomb her alive. This is no accident.
Yeah. There's been such a history of illness in the family. What with heart ailments, nervous diseases, and the like, sir. Miss Madeline was...
What did you say?
Sir?
You said catalepsies?
Did I, sir?
Miss Madeline subject to cataleptic trances?
Oh, no, sir. Not Miss Madeline.
The truth!
No,
why
sir.
Why she... No, sir! That's why Mr. Usher wanted her put in the crypt so soon.
Oh, no, Mr. Winthrop.
Oh, my God.
You want to sympathize with Roderick because he has these afflictions. He understands that his descendants have all been evil, maniacal, just bad people. And he seems to be with it. You know, he keeps to himself. He doesn't bug anybody. He doesn't want anyone to bug him. He just lives with this notion that he is part, or he is at the end of a very evil bloodline.
Playing his horrible lute music.
So you feel for this guy. And then what does he do? He goes and does something fucking evil. He entombs his sister alive. You know, like, how much more evil can you be? Like, in the end, he actually, he is an embodiment of this fucking debauchery.
Where is he?
Don't touch me.
Where is he?
Touch me! Where is he?
Dead.
You lied. You buried her alive.
I did. But she's dead now. I swear it.
You swear it? You buried your own sister alive?
But I had to do it. Can't you understand that? She was doomed.
I felt, I don't know, uncomfortable, but he's like, don't touch me, and he's all squirmy. I'm like, Vincent Price, this is not you. You know what I mean? That's just a horrible role for him. I felt
it's
like,
not how you picture how you him.
And in any of his other roles, he's more of a, I don't want to say manly man, but more like a little bit headstrong and even a dick sometimes.
Be done!
What?
Nothing, I rave. You said be done. What did you mean?
Nothing.
Stop screaming! What are you talking about?
Nothing?
I rave.
Is she still alive?
No.
Is she?
No.
Is she?
Yes!
Yes, even now I hear her.
Yes. Alive. Deranged. Infuriate. Can you not hear her voice?
Twisting.
Turning. Scratching at the lid with bloody fingernails, staring, screaming, wild with fury, the strength of madness in her. Can you not hear her voice? She calls my name. Roderick. Roderick.
Self-fulfilling prophecy much? They get the mania, yeah, from being locked in a casket for a couple fucking days. They go mad, yes.
Whither shall I fly? Will she not be here anon? Is she not hurrying to upbraid me for my haste? Have I not heard her footstep on the stair? Do I not distinguish that heavy and horrible beating of her heart? Madman, I tell you, she now stands without the door!
I love the close-up of Madeline's eyes after she goes deranged and she attacks Winthrop. When she kind of tumbles into the banister with him. The close-up, her eyes look so cool in close-up. That's the first time I think we've ever had an extreme close-up on any character in the movie. And it's compelling. I really like it. It looks awesome.
That She's kind awesome. Of shit was reserved for, like, Christopher Lee's eyes when he was Dracula.
Yeah.
When they were all bloodshot and shit. That was the only time you really got that really close outside of Italy, where they fucking love that shit, man. Love it. You ever watch any Lucio Fulci? Half the movie is just the fucking eyes darting back.
But they didn't overdo it, though. It's just enough in that moment when he realizes that she's lost it, that she is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he realizes it, that's when we get
the even her skin tone had changed. She went from being like white to like kind of like
gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was gone. It's almost like a Bond film where the setting has to immolate something for some reason at the crescendo end of the film.
Yeah.
Fire breaks out or something goes awry, causing a spark which turns into a flame, and within 5 minutes the whole place is just on fire and then just crumbles. You know, it's a huge trope. Like even in The Raven, it happened at Scarabus's place, right? His castle crumbled.
And the deep and dank lake at my feet closed sullenly and silently over the fragments of the House of Usher.
Let us score it nude.
A solid 7.5.
7.5?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. like I said, that's a different role, different look for him. I don't think I like him as a blonde, but yeah, no, good. I really enjoyed every Vincent Price I've liked.
A staggering look for him, right?
Yeah.
I suggest you leave, Mr. Winthrop.
Get out!
No? Then perish with us.
Usually I do Nick before Brian, but now I'm going to go to Brian Stewart and ask him.
Rob Ross by 0.5, but I'm going to give it a solid 8.
There's 7.5.
Yeah, goddamn it. I knew it. I love everything about this era. I love the time period. I love the acting's great in it, the music, the set design. I understand it's a bit slowly paced, but I mean it's a faithful adaptation, and it was something new. Like, this sparked something different. I mean, this made horror and Vincent Price and Roger Corman all household names, and for the better, right?
Yeah, and they all went on to make more fantastic gothic Poe tales.
Yeah.
That were equally as good, if not better.
But this helped to put horror in the home. This made Vincent Price a household name. His popularity from this made him a megastar.
I've always said that. American International Pictures with Price and their crew, with Hammer having Lee and Cushing and all their crew. Those two studios back in the 60s, like you said, really put horror to the forefront.
Yeah. Even if this house were full of evil, Madeline is not. Not for all of your talk, are you?
Nick!
7.5.
7.5. Are you always saying that he's 0.5 more than you?
Yes.
Oh. I enjoy life more than Nick by 0.5.
Brian's score equals mine plus 0.5. Yeah. To be honest, it lost points because it the pacing issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, if they... Because how long is this? So they had
hour 19. This was 79 minutes.
79. Yeah. So they skated, and that's with pattern. So that's the problem, is when you try to take a Poe short story, they
learn it into a feature.
Yeah, and they learn that with their other ones. They did fix the problem, because a lot of the other Poes that they did after this, with few exceptions, they did, because I did see some of those. I know I enjoyed the shit out of those, but they didn't have the pacing issues. But this was the first one. It was their first color one. So there's just a couple little things. Like, everything else about it, I liked.
Perhaps there have been in your family certain peculiarities of temperament.
Peculiarities of temperament?
I will score this. I'm going to give it an 8. It would probably be an 8.5, but I'm going to side with Nick. A little bit of a slow burn at the beginning, the first half of the movie. And it's not a long film. First half of the movie just kind of drags. And the whole thing about, oh, you just don't understand, you don't understand, let's move on. You still don't understand, but let's move on. No, I see now that you just don't understand. It's like, Jesus Christ, tell the fucking tale already.
First.
And then when he dies, okay, now I understand. It's kind of weak, even though Winthorpe is like, this is fucking bullshit. I'm out of here, and your sister's coming with me, and then things just fucking roll.
Yeah.
Roll.
Two pale drops of fire. Guttering in the vast, consuming darkness. My sister and myself. Shortly they will burn no more.
The earliest memory of Vincent Price that I can remember was Michael Jackson's fucking Thriller, man.
Yeah.
When that song came out in 82, I was about 6 years old. I wasn't watching horror movies, so I didn't know Vincent Price as the old horror guy. He was this menacing voice in Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah, and the best laugh in film.
Yes.
I don't care.
Very fucking final Christmas. Were you all good little boys and girls this year?
Did you click each and every one of our shows? I certainly hope so, because if you didn't, we'll know. And we're real good friends with the Krampus, just saying. We hope you enjoyed our treatment of Roger Corman's Fall of the House of Usher, starring Vincent Price, Mark Damon, and Mira Fahey, a wonderfully macabre film based on the works of the timeless Edgar Allan Poe. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, and the lovely nude, this is Cash Wampum wishing you a Merry Christmas and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
Bling, ding, ding.
Did you compose that?
Yes, I did.
Bling, just now.
That's
inspiring. Please don't do it again.
Play another.